From WNYC, New York Public Radio, this is Soundcheck On Demand. I'm John Schaefer. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC On Demand is supported by Open, how American Express serves small business. Open offers a range of products and services designed exclusively for small business. Details at 888-779-OPEN or open.com.
Here they are!
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Some are calling this a remix album. Others call it a mashup. Like any new album connected to the Beatles, it's an event. We're talking about Love, the new album of 26 Beatles songs that hit stores last week. It's the soundtrack for the newest Cirque du Soleil stage spectacle in Las Vegas. Love features the first official remixing and re-editing of Beatles music approved by the surviving members and family. And joining us with his review of the album is Anthony DeCurtis, contributing editor at Rolling Stone and regular contributor to Soundcheck. Anthony, the album Love was created by the group's longtime producer and unofficial fifth Beatle, George Martin, and his son Giles.
Yes, that is correct.
So does it avoid sacrilege because of that connection?
Oh, I think it very much avoids sacrilege, partly because of that connection. Although it's sort of chicken and the egg. They were chosen to do it precisely to avoid sacrilege. You know, the Beatles are pretty conservative about these things. You know, I think they're very canonical, actually. And they don't, they don't license the songs for much to the degree that they have control over that, because as I'm sure many people know, they don't own these songs. But, you know, they don't like to hear, the music used in ways that they don't control. So this is about as loose as they've gotten, and it's actually quite enjoyable, I think.
Well, and Apple Records, which the Beatles founded, yes, even as they were splitting up back in the late 60s, early 70s, Apple Records has been notoriously protective of,
yes,
of these recordings, of these tapes and stuff. So how and why did this album get made in the first place?
Well, I think the simplest reason is probably the truest one, which is George Harrison was friends with someone from Cirque du Soleil, and Cirque du Soleil had this idea of doing a piece connected with Beatles songs. The Beatles, I think by this point, even are tired of various kinds of just restructures of the order of their songs or whatever. And they wanted something different. They wanted something that, really maybe caught, some of the sense of what Cirque du Soleil was doing as well. And so this sense of what amounts to kind of a dream of the Beatles is the way I hear this. It's, kind of this very associative journey through Beatles songs, which are kind of unhinged from their moorings and allowed to float and appear in unpredictable ways, I think was their solution to that opportunity.
So the Beatles and Apple Records actually did not want Cirque du Soleil to just perform to a bunch of pre-existing Beatles songs.
That is correct. And there was, I attended one of these listening sessions that Giles Martin conducted, and he was talking about the fact that he played some things, as they were going along, he would play them for Paul McCartney and Ringo and for George's wife, Olivia Harrison, and John's wife, Yoko Ono. And when he did that, at one point with McCartney, he was playing, I think it was Try to See It My Way or something that's actually not on the disc. And McCartney said, well, what did you do to that? And Giles Martin said, well, there wasn't really a lot we could do, so we just kind of doubled the guitars a little bit. And McCartney said, well, we've heard that. We know, everybody knows that song. We don't need that. They, I think, fell in love with this idea of hearing their music reimagined, but reimagined by a member of the family.
Right. In this case, Giles Martin, the son of George Martin. Now, What's happening in the version? I mean, this Strawberry Fields Forever is probably a good place for us to give our listeners an introduction to what's happening
absolutely.
Here. Talk us through this.
Well, this Strawberry Fields Forever, which in many ways, you know, marked one of the beginning points of the Beatles' entry into psychedelia, it becomes a kind of the occasion for all of the Beatles' psychedelic songs to kind of drift through. So it opens with a kind of demo version of that, which provided one of the bases for the original track, and then develops, and then you just hear all kinds of sounds flying through. I mean, I realize this sounds like I've been on some kind of psychedelic journey, but when you listen to it, I think you'll know what I mean.
Let's hear it at the beginning. This is a demo tape version of the song, John and His Guitar. All right, and then as the track goes on, other instruments are added until by the end you have, as Anthony DeCurtis told us, a full-on psychedelic freakout. From the new album called simply Love, a reimagining of 26 Beatles songs, that is allegedly Strawberry Fields Forever, although, Anthony, I'm already losing track. I mean,
yes.
There's Piggies in the background.
Yes, exactly.
Penny Lane.
Penny Lane came in there. Sgt. Pepper's came in there. And that is really the fun. I mean, Hello, Goodbye in the background. You know, it's such an opportunity for Beatles fans to geek out because, drum parts from particular songs, guitar parts from particular songs, vocal parts from particular songs, little moments of arrangements, to kind of drop in and out of these versions. And it's amazing just how well it works because it sounds like something that could either be contrived or silly or pretentious, but in fact, it's just fun. It really is a pleasure to listen to.
Well, and it's not just a pleasure to listen to. It's in many cases a revelation to listen to because sonically they've gone back to the original master tapes. And the sound is in many instances on this record, really astonishing.
Yeah. Well, it's partly, I think, a tribute to how well made those records were, even though they had nothing approaching the technology that we have today. But it's also a kind of challenge. As John Perella's at the New York Times raised in his review is, why don't the Beatles' actual albums sound this good?
Yeah.
And I think it's a kind of hopefully it's a preface to Capitol going back in and redoing those records.
Mm-hmm. So this is, it's important to say that this is not a mashup in the way that DJ Danger Mouse did with the
yes.
Gray album, where he took the Beatles' White album and Jay-Z's Black
yes.
album and mashed them together.
Right. This is a different thing. I think they are very careful. Again, at this listening session that I attended, Giles Martin, George Martin's son, who has co-produced this, was very careful not to use that word. Now, why? I have no idea why they're so – because there are elements of mashup here, except for the fact that if you assume that a mashup is two wildly dissimilar things joined together, well, these are all Beatles songs. And
right.
So it's all from within their own imaginations and their own creativity. So it's not anything as kind of out there as what the Danger Mouse project.
All right. Now, not everyone likes this disc that we're talking about, Love. It is the soundtrack to the new Cirque du Soleil spectacle in Las Vegas. Last week on the show, Jim DeRogatis of the Chicago Sun-Times said this.
with the Beatles Love thing just coming out, we see an example of a bad way to kind of recontextualize and update current music. You know, I mean, the Beatles don't belong in Vegas, and, you know, you can call it a mashup, but that isn't a real mashup.
You're talking, Jim. All right, so that's Jim DeRogatis last week on Soundcheck. Anthony DeCurtis from Rolling Stone, regular contributor to Soundcheck with us here. I mean, you know, Jim's saying that this is a bad way of trying to recontextualize and update music.
Well, I'm not exactly sure why that is. And his objection seemed to be that it wasn't a true mashup. As far as I have known, like, again, at this listening session, in any of the material that Capitol Records has put out about it, any of the interviews I've heard with George Martin and Giles Martin about it, or McCartney and Ringo Starr for that matter, no one has used that term. And if you hold mashup as the end goal, you're likely going to be disappointed here, because it's not some effort to put the Beatles in a wildly dissimilar context. It's a way of, if you're inside this world already, it's a way of shifting all your coordinates, and almost like a snow cone. Mm. You take it and you shake it, and they all come down in a different place. And I think that's the experience. To frame it in the way that Jim did is to set yourself up for disappointment.
I have to say, I was all set to be, you know, disappointed by this
and
record.
Outraged.
And I was ready with my, you know, yes, my fiery outrage on behalf of the Beatles. And I was completely won over by this collection of whatever they are, remixes, reimaginings. Part of the fun, Anthony, is, you know, trying to identify, as we were doing at the end of Strawberry
Yes.
Fields, all the little components that go in, especially at the beginning and ends of the songs. Tell me a little bit about Get Back.
Well, there is a great moment near the top. The album opens with Because, this kind of a cappella version. You just hear the vocals. And then Get Back comes roaring in, but it eventually merges with Glass Onion at the end of it. And all of these parts... you know, you have a lot – you just have a sense of the creativity of these people. You know, there's a McCartney song blending in with a John Lennon song. And one of the interesting things about this record is, it, as so often happens with the Beatles, that in the listening to it, you know, you imagine almost – well, the title Love gets at it, that this is this perfect world. Of course, you know, these people were often fighting and in many ways still are embittered. But, you know, within the music itself, it's something that really kind of all hangs together and works together beautifully.
All right. This is from the album Love, and this is the version of Get Back. The Beatles' Get Back from the new album Love, and we are speaking with Anthony DeCurtis, contributing editor at Rolling Stone and regular contributor to Soundcheck, and it's Get Back, but you know that when that opening guitar chord comes
from
in.
From A Hard Day's Night, yeah. You know, and you know, you can hear parts from Abbey Road and...
the crescendoing strings from
yes.
A Day in the Life leading right up to the vocals. It's just
exactly.
It's so dramatic.
And I seem to hear some of those kind of tape noises from Tomorrow Never Knows on Revolver in the background as well.
So with all of... I mean, they were very careful to say this, all Beatles.
Yes.
You know, they didn't import anything. There's
right.
Nothing new with one exception.
With one exception, as a matter of fact, and it's a really distinctive one. They had... a demo version of While My Guitar Gently Weeps. And, you know, obviously within this context, something that simple and that stark would, I mean, had a certain beauty, but it maybe didn't really fit in. And the suggestion came up, and nobody's really quite sure where, for George Martin to compose a string section to go along with it. And
as he had done so many times for the Beatles,
yes,
originally.
Exactly. And you know, this was the only new thing. And in fact, it works really well. And George Martin has said it's the last thing he's going to be doing. And so it has a kind of poignance in that regard as well.
A valedictory statement of sorts from George Martin, the so-called unofficial fifth Beatle, and co-producer with his son Giles of the album Love. Anthony DeCurtis, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you, John. It was a pleasure.
This is Soundcheck.
You were perverted too. I don't know how you were inverted. No one elated you.
Thanks for listening to Soundcheck from WNYC, New York Public Radio. Each day we dig into what's happening in music, and you can hear everything we do and check out our other programs on demand at WNYC.org or on iTunes. All of this is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org. Thanks.